This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Brett Tracy from the Carilion Clinic. Brett heads up revenue cycle there. He's going to talk to us both about COVID-19, COVID in the revenue cycle context. Southwest Virginia is one of the areas that was hard hit a couple years ago and over the last decade by the opioid crisis. We'll sort of touch on a variety of subjects and try and tie them back somewhat to revenue cycle. Brett, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Scott. It's glad to be here today. Yes, I'm the Vice President of Revenue Cycle here at Carilion Clinic. We're located in Roanoke, Virginia. We are the largest provider of healthcare services west of Richmond, and we are a not-for-profit system. We serve over 1 million Virginians within our service area, and we have a comprehensive network of hospitals, primary and specialty physician practices. I'm blessed with the opportunity to lead our revenue cycle, including our hospital, professional billing, coding, patient access, customer service teams. And I transitioned into this role in 2017 after previously serving as a consultant for Carilion since 2015.
Well, in Carilion, for those that aren't familiar, it's one of the most respected sort of, I wouldn't say community health system anymore. It's a very, very large community it serves today with lots of hospitals and a great clinic, but a greatly led clinic with a great leadership team that's really made a difference in healthcare. Brett, take a moment and give us a sense of two things. COVID-19 in your area and then revenue cycle in the COVID-19 context and how that's impacted.
Yes, just to expand upon that, definitely strong leadership from our executive team with Nancy Hallegi and our CEO and Don Hallowell, our CFO, given a lot of leadership and foresight as we go through this crisis. Within the COVID-19 within our area in Southwest Virginia, we have been fortunate in that we haven't had as large of a surge or outbreak in cases that's typically seen maybe in the northeast corner of Virginia or New York area. We are not immune to the impacts of COVID-19. We have a temporary order restricting non-essential and elective procedures in place through May the 1st. And so that's resulted in a large shift in volumes relative to our patient populations due to that temporary restriction.
Go ahead. With that, with the great reduction of non-essential or elective cases, and everybody's definition of non-essential is different, but that hits a big revenue hole for a period of time. And thank goodness, getting started again relatively soon. What does that do to revenue cycle in that context?
Yeah, it definitely shifts the way you do your daily operations, and you have to kind of take a step back and assess where's the volume of patients coming in and where are those revenues. And especially with the CARES Act, the legislation for provider and hospital relief, it requires you to be very cognizant of the policies, how they are changing on a monthly basis, and making sure that your teams are in alignment and communicating more than ever because of the amount of changes and the need to keep up with that. The pandemic has forced a paradigm shift in the importance of the communication when you monitor that along with our productivity as a system. One thing that Carilion has done that's really unique is we've offered patients a one-month postponement option to pay medical bills without interest and penalties. And that's really important to know, and patients have started taking us up on that option. And we talk all the time about our mission being to improve the health of the communities we serve. But we also see this as an opportunity, not just the physical health, but the economic health of our patients in our region as a key factor in how we handle that.
When you talk about community health, one of the things I've been impressed by Carilion is really several things. One, as a leader in helping develop a new, much-needed medical school, both in the region and in the country. Two, it's done a crazy amount of work on physician burnout and physician leadership issues. Crazy is a horrible word choice, but a great deal of work on physician leadership and physician burnout issues and also provider issues. It also was a leader in sort of managing and handling the opioid crises, which I know hit parts of the regions that you reside in hard. Talk for us a moment about COVID-19 and maybe a couple of those issues, either around opioids or physician leadership and burnout, and what this means as it ties into some of those things, if anything.
Yeah, historically, when you talk about opioid treatment, a lot of that was relegated to face-to-face medical management or group therapy. And now with social distancing and restrictions, we are doing a lot of that treatment by video through telehealth. And our focus today is developing a culture and capacity to do group psychotherapy visits. We've also established a special phone line for our patients and our community members to make sure they have access to mental health and substance abuse support. As far as physician leadership, our physician leaders have done a lot of specialized communication for providers to make sure that they are engaged and that there's appropriate relief options to help people seek support and rest during this time because of the amount of stress that can be on, especially on our providers.
In terms of the telehealth option and working with that, and I know Medicare now allows it during this emergency period. Hopefully they'll allow it past that. A lot of your patients that are opioid treatment needs, behavioral health needs, aren't necessarily Medicare eligible, but Medicaid eligible, other commercial payers. Have the rules loosened up the same for those as well to allow telehealth visits for Medicaid and for commercial too?
Yes, the rules have been fairly consistent across the board, and we are seeing an evolution in which they're being more consumer friendly. But with that comes an enhanced need to monitor those shifts because the reimbursement may not be exactly the same. Plus, when you can go from in-person to virtual, there is the potential for impact to reimbursement just because it may not be quite the same.
Got it. And what are you finding sort of some of the most fascinating things you've seen throughout really just not just this crisis, but since taking over revenue cycle a few years ago?
Yeah, a few years ago, people may have thought along the terms of just focus on enhancing your existing electronic medical records or your practice management system, and just can we optimize that? What I've seen over the last few years, especially now, is the need to prioritize consumer needs. And especially during a time of financial crisis, we have to be in sync with our industry norms. We have to offer patients flexible payment options. And when we talk about COVID, when we talk about social distancing, we have to be very creative with our patient experiences through from registration to video visit to even delivering the medication to the patient's home. But when I take a step back and I fully assess where we're at today, the average healthcare organization may only tap into 75% of what their practice management system can offer. And organizations have to fully optimize those items as we focus on consumer needs to provide that consumer experience that they expect in healthcare, just like they get everywhere else that's not in healthcare.
So really working to make that patient experience better and better as people sort of see it outside of healthcare for healthcare patients, constituents as well. And just one last question, Brett, some of your thoughts on working with your team, are you working with some of them more of them remotely than you ever have before through this COVID crisis? Or is it similar? Or how does that look in terms of your staff and team and the people that work with you?
Yeah, it's moved to video meetings or more conference calls. And so that's required a big shift in terms of how you communicate. I would say that your daily messaging from emails to secure instant messaging, that takes the place a lot of what I call office drop-ins. But it requires an enhanced coordination to make sure people are connected on their schedules and that people are truly being engaged when you're on a call versus maybe being in person. And so a lot of great collaboration here at Carilion. People are getting together to make sure that collaboration does not drop, that we continue with the same voltage that we have. But it just requires an additional amount of planning that goes into that.
let me ask you one more final question. Sorry about that. Is in terms of frontline workers and respect and admiration for what you see them doing through the COVID crisis, as well as the entire team, any thoughts on that? And sort of, I mean, you've watched the frontline workers at Carilion work very hard through the opioid crisis, work hard and put their own lives at risk here. Any thoughts on what you're seeing from the team at Carilion?
Yeah, I'm seeing a group of resilient leaders and flat out heroes. They know that they are sacrificing a lot to be on the front lines for our patients. But I see that resolve and that courage that says we must take care of the patients. And it's just been very, almost unbelievable to see the amount of, rallying together that everyone has done to say we have a common mission and a common purpose. And I see enhanced unity, by our staff willing to make sure that they take care of our patients and each other.
Brett, it's great to visit with you today. I'm always amazed at the growth of leadership at Carilion Clinic and what an amazing job over a long period of time they've done in growing and cultivating leadership and people. So it's always a great pleasure for us at Becker's Healthcare to talk to anyone who's in leadership or on the front lines at Carilion. Just an amazing, amazing organization. And so thank you, Brett, for joining us today. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Scott.